Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 93 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is the official Movies by Minute chronicler, Eric Nash. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Hey, Movie Rob. Great to be here.
I think I've now, like, you know, put you in this position where, you know, this is your new title. We're gonna, you know, I'm gonna put it all over the Movies by Minute community that we're now gonna call Eric the chronicler. You know, just like Jim's the godfather of the Movies by Minute thing. So, you know, why not have other people who have Movies by Minute titles? Obviously,
well, definitely.
As long as you agree. You
know, yeah. Well, I mean, I certainly have been involved with the spreadsheet for quite a while, and then more recently in the past year or so. Year or two, I think now. I've definitely been the main person to help get this stuff, the shows added to the site. But right. But definitely, there is the other Rob that came before me on that regard. And actually, you know, really, the site's maintained by the other Godfathers, so to speak, the Star Wars Minute guys, Pete and Alex.
Right, that's true.
Props to them.
That's true. That's true.
Someday I may hand my, just as Rob handed to me, the responsibility of getting the shows added when their submissions are put in.
Right.
I may pass that buck on to someone at some point.
Well, is there still a steady flow? Are there new shows coming out?
It's been a little light lately. But you know, and I had actually let a few build up at one point a few months ago.
What, are you let them build up so they made it seem as if there's a lot that'll happen at the same time?
No. Oh, okay. No, it was just not having a good a decent ability to get around to it.
Right. Okay. That's fair.
For a couple months.
Again, I mean, as most people know, we do all this for free. So you have to find time to, you know, to do the free stuff you know, in between the other things that are being used to pay the bills. You know, so that makes sense. So minute 93 begins with an explanation about something being soggy and ends with the first gaffer. So right now we're in the last few seconds of the film itself before we get into the credits. And yesterday we ended things with Harry and Sally sitting on the couch like all these other documentary couples before them, explaining to the world or the documentary or the director or whoever they're supposed to be explaining to, you know, how they actually met, that type of thing. So, you know, Eric and I posed the theory, so it's possible that this whole movie is them telling over their story. Maybe yes, maybe no. But here they sum it up real quickly. You know, they had a great dynamic between the two of them yesterday, where they were correcting and interrupting one another, but doing it in a nice way, you know, trying to get the full story across. They were talking about their wedding, how they had this great big cake, and, you know, they had the chocolate sauce, and they said it was on the side, and that's how they ended things. And today, basically, Harry continues by explaining because it makes it very soggy. And then particularly the coconut soaks up a lot of that stuff. So you really, it's important to keep it on the side. Right. You know, and then the music will starts to play. And then, you know, we move along from that point. But, you know, once again, it's great. The hand gestures and, you know, we have Sally, you know, using, you know, she has her arms crossed throughout most of this documentary footage, and right at the end, you know, her hands you know, come apart basically, and then she makes this motion with one of her hands, you know, explaining why it's not good, why you need to have things on the side. So yeah, but once again, you can see that the two of them seem to have a great dynamic here, and I think it works well, the way that they bookend this, you know, with them as the documentary couple, even though, as I mentioned yesterday, I would have been happier had they made them seem more appropriate for along with all the other couples that were being interviewed, I guess you can say.
Yeah, either age-wise or something, whether it was, the at least one of the other couples maybe being on the younger side,
Right.
or I mean they wouldn't have been doing the similar to the de-aging that's so popular right now, especially for superhero movies
That's
and the
right.
like. It's that made them appear much older. I mean, it was done very well for well, spoilers for Avengers, but
Yes.
good old Cap. That was done very well. I think that's a bit, pretty good popular opinion.
Yeah, I think at this point, I don't think after 4 years you can really, call something a spoiler. I mean,
Yeah.
it is for someone who hasn't seen it, but still, But that's fine. That's fine. But yeah, they didn't really have the de-aging effects or aging effects in 1989. So you're saying it might have been more interesting to show them as an older couple telling their story?
Yeah, right. To age them up,
Right. Okay. All
which
right.
often at this point, I mean, it's done plenty, back in the 80s
Yeah, well,
and
just 2 years
prior,
earlier,
with a lot of makeup.
right? In two
But
years earlier, you had Billy Crystal playing Miracle Max, so
yeah, right.
he's used to putting on that much makeup. That would actually would have been interesting had they done that. I never even thought about that idea that you could have just put the two of them, aged on the couch telling the story. That like the story's being told in the future. It's not even being told in 1989. It's being told, let's say in 2023. Well, if Rob Reiner, if you're listening, maybe you can,
Special edition.
maybe you can just get, Billy Crystal
Yeah.
and Meg Ryan together for to do this scene again, at this point, and then it would make things, work a little better. But yeah, overall, I like the way that they did it though. And then the credits begin. We have music also. Once again, we get the song "It Had to Be You," continuing with things. And as we go through the credits, so we have all the cast. It starts off with the four main people, and then other people who've popped up here and there. And then we even get to people who only show up once throughout the movie. But there's one here. Did you look at all the names, all the character names?
Yeah, character. I don't think I took as much note of the character names as I did the actors.
Okay, so the character
Yeah, so
names,
let's.
there's one that really jumped out at me that I have no idea who it is. There's someone that's known as the judge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They were never in court,
Wow.
so it made me wonder who the judge is. The only explanation that I could come up with is maybe the judge was the person who married them because they don't have any credit for the minister, who actually does have a line.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
Yeah,
that could
I
be
don't
what
know.
it was, yeah.
The actor who plays that character, okay, his name is Joe Viviani. He has 8 credits or 9 credits in IMDb. One of them is a self credit. Very small roles in these movies. The only movie and these are all movies from the late 80s, early 90s. Besides this movie, he was also in a movie called Plutonium Baby, Firehouse, Enemies: A Love Story, Scenes from a Mall, which is a Woody Allen movie, and the movie The Paper. Now, one of the other his other credit here is the only one that I possibly would recognize him from is the movie See No Evil, Hear No Evil. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Okay.
Out of all the Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder ones, that's one I watched the most as a kid.
Yeah, I love that movie. I think it's a great movie. I think that it's hilarious. If I ever wanted to do another comedy for movies by
Oh,
minute, I
yeah.
might contemplate doing something there because it is so funny. The way that all plays out and that works there. But the bottom line is though, who is he here? If there he's the judge. You have any idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, with IMDb, I mean, it has that's the one picture it has under photos.
Yes.
for See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and it's Fingerprint Cop. And, you know, I would just have to look at his face here and then go back and, you know, see if, is that the person that, the efficient that marries?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't look like it. I mean, we only see him from the back. We never get to see the front of his face. But from the back, it does not look like him. You know, if you go back to minute 79, that's where they show him. You know, that's the only explanation that I can even think of, that it could be the same person, you know, because of the fact that you know, there's no other place where a judge really would fit in here. Nobody was ever in court, you know. I mean, there's also there's another incorrect credit here, which we'll get to in a second, which was something that I joked about back then, that it actually was the minister. Okay, you have a joke teller at wedding. Okay, now there is no joke teller at the wedding. There's a joke teller at the New Year's Eve party. So when I said the joke teller, when I saw that they had a joke teller at the wedding, I was like, okay, maybe they're talking about the, you know, the priest, minister, whatever. But I don't know. It's very interesting. Usually, you know, you'd think that they wouldn't make mistakes like this in the credits of a movie. You know, that they would have enough people go over everything to try and figure out, you know, the whole thing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we're just going to have to assume that it is the officiant at the wedding and that's it?
Yeah, I feel like it. I mean, you say you've watched the commentary too. I mean, you'd think that they'd mention, oh, we did have this one scene where there was this court. They were in the court. Someone was in a courtroom.
Yeah. And they don't mention that. It's not in the script. It's not there's nothing at all mentioned. But even if it was in the script, and you know, if it gets cut out, then you don't necessarily give the person the credit. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I understand, there's no other scene in the movie that I can think of. I mean, he talks about, you know, the East European judge, but that's in a dream. You know, it's not. Yeah. And that's his mother. So, you know, maybe Joe Viviani is, you know, secretly Harry Burns' mother. I don't know. That's as close as I can get. You know, even on IMDb, it doesn't say anything about him, bio or anything like that. So I think we're just going to have to assume that maybe that's the incorrectness here. That, you know, instead of calling him maybe they want it to be politically correct and, you know, say that it's just the judge. Because in the script, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, when we were at Jess and Marie's wedding, there's no line at all for the priest or minister. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't say anything there. So what's added in the movie, you know, maybe it's just added as, you know, they decided to make it seem a little official, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very strange.
Crazy.
Yeah. So again, Rob Reiner, if you're listening, and if you know the answer, or if anybody knows the answer, you know, feel free to let us know. I'm very curious. I wasn't able to find the answer to this question. So, you know, who does Joe Viviani play in this movie? You know, who is the judge? And it's also it's listed as, I mean, I was also trying to figure out the order that they were trying to put all of these people in, and there's like no set order here. It seems somewhat random, you know, for the credits.
Yeah.
Cause obviously you have Harry and Sally, then you have Marie and Jess, mm-hmm. then you have Joe and Alice. Okay. Joe was in one scene and Alice was in two scenes. Okay. Then you have Amanda, who was in the first scene in the movie. Then you have the stewardess who I think all she did was ask someone if they want a drink. Then you have Man on Isle, who's the guy who, you know, who was willing to switch seats with them when they were on the plane. Then you have the 9-year-old boy who was complaining when they were at the batting cages. And then you have the judge. And then you have Helen. And then you have the waiter at the wedding. And then you have Ira. You'd think that they would even put Helen and Ira together.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like, how does the waiter from, and it's not as if this is in alphabetical order or anything like that. So then you have Ira. And then after that, you have Julian and Emily, you know, which were both at the party, you know, at
oh, yeah.
the,
when they're doing
Yeah, where they're
Pictionary.
playing Pictionary slash win, lose, or draw.
Yeah.
And then after that, you have Gary, who's also in two scenes. That's Alice's husband, who we also see twice. We see him at the Pictionary game, and we see him at the wedding. Then we have waitress. Then we have hostess, and then older woman customer, which is, you know, Estelle Reiner. Then the Christmas tree salesman, then the joke teller at the wedding, and then that's it. The rest of, then they have all the documentary couples, which there are a total of six. So in the movie, there are seven.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like after Alice, when it gets to Amanda, I mean, from then on, it's roughly in appearance order.
Yeah.
But even then, you got, like you said, Helen and Ira should be right next to each other.
Unless the waiter at the wedding interrupted in the middle when they were
right. Yeah, in the mall.
Not the mall, in Sharper Image.
Yeah, okay. Wait. Right.
No, they didn't. Malls were very different in 1989, as I'm sure you remember just like I do. Things are not exactly the same as today. And that's all we have for the credits of the people. Is there anyone of the people that you wanted to say something about?
No, not really. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, Carrie Fisher, that's the biggest thing I'd have to say anything about at this point, is that, you know, just the effect that she had on my life. And, you know, it's just Star Wars being my number one forever and always movie
right.
of all time. And she's the female lead.
Right. That's true. And then, you know, it continues with the rest of the credits. We have, you know, the production manager and the first assistant director and second director. You know, I mean, I tend to just try to find some interesting ones here, you know, that jump out at me, because then you have like the art department and things like that. So one of the ones that jumped out at me is someone that's a scenic artist.
Yeah, me too. I thought, because the last name, right?
Yes. Both the last name and the idea of what a scenic artist does. You know, those are two things. You know, his name is Billy Puzo. You know, do you think he has any...
Godfather.
Do you think he has any connection? Puzo.
I mean, I have no idea. I didn't go and dig around for it.
Well, I can tell you what movies he's been in.
Oh.
That's what IMDb is for. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's someone who's in the art department. Well, actually, let's first talk about what a scenic artist does. Okay, a scenic artist is also known as a charge scenic artist or the head scenic artist. Okay, it's the person who leads and oversees the painting of scenery. Okay, they're usually part of the United Scenic Artists Union. Okay, and basically what they're in charge of, okay, their responsibilities include types of reproducing color, texture, and preparing of different surfaces and aging them and things like that, so they look as if they fit into, you know, the scene. As to the, you know, you're not going to have someone who's supposedly been in a particular apartment for years, you know, that it looks like everything is just very, very is all brand new and stuff like that. Okay, so basically the job of the charge artist is to interpret the scenic designer's technical drawings and paint elevations, and with a crew of journeymen, they bring them to life on the actual scenery. They're also responsible for budgeting the finished sets, along with, they do this together with the production designer and the art director. So, you know, that's a pretty important job. Mm-hmm. Right. So back to Billy Puzo, who only has six credits in IMDb. He is the scenic artist, or the master scenic artist in all of them. He worked in the movies Stardust Memories, Wall Street, True Believer, Fletch Lives, When Harry Met Sally, and then four episodes of Guiding Light. You know, so he doesn't have a very prolific career listed in IMDb, at least. He was born on the 15th of March, 1945, and he passed away on June 13th, 2006, at the age of 61. His nickname was Billy Pooh, like Winnie the Pooh type of thing. But that's all the information we have here. I don't know if he's related to Mario Puzo at all. Sorry to disappoint. But the name did jump out at me, just like it did by you. So that's, great minds, as they say, right? And then it continues with a whole bunch of other the people working behind the scenes. You have the second assistant directors and the assistant editors. And well, the thing that jumped out at me again after this was the prop masters. Okay, so the prop masters in this movie are two people named David Glazer and Dick Tice, or Ticey, Tice, right? So it made me think, okay, what do you think a property master is?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's, I mean, there's the other credit right below them of props, but I mean, they just really need to keep track of and I imagine secure and make sure everything gets put away right after the end of the day and gets put out, whatever, just a real keeping control
Okay,
of
so
props.
that's part of what they do, but what they also do is they also are in charge of going and buying things.
Oh, okay, sure.
They're responsible for purchasing, acquiring, manufacturing of different props, and also knowing how to properly place them and make sure that they have everything that's needed during production for these type of things. Okay, so David L. Glazer has 46 credits as a property master in IMDb, and he has 6 credits as set director. He worked in the movie National Treasure. He did 2 episodes of Sex and the City. He did 157 episodes of Boy Meets World. So that's probably his most prolific work. He was also in Bill. He did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, Soap Dish, Firebirds, Dad, Scrooged, Suspect, 52 Pickup, Let's Get Harry, Real Genius, The Sure Thing, Dreamscape. And his very first movie as a working in the press department was a movie from 1976 called Revenge of the Cheerleaders. I've never heard of that one. You ever heard of that?
I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah, so that's what he does. And the he actually there's a book that he was part of a TV show called Smoldering Lust, which there's a book about it that talks about it's called We Bombed in Burbank. It's about a show that production was canceled very quickly. So that's what it mentions in there. And then you have Dick Tice, who has 75 different credits on IMDb. And that really also goes very far back. His first work was on Desperately Seeking Susan in 1985. And what other movies? He was in Parent. He did Parenthood, Presumed Innocent, True Colors, Prince of Tides, The Pelican Brief, IQ, City Hall, Conspiracy Theory, Snake Eyes. He's done work on a lot of different movies over the years.
So one other Meg Ryan movie,
One other that I mentioned. I mean,
IQ.
I didn't mention all the movies. I mean,
Oh
he's got
yeah,
so many of
no,
them.
sure.
That's the ones that jumped out at me for that one. So one of the things that we did, and that's basically how the minute ends. We see the first gaffer who's listed there, Russell Engels. That's how this minute ends. But throughout this entire part of the credits, so we have the song "Let's Call the Whole Thing Off" being played. Okay, have you ever heard this song before besides
Oh
here?
yeah, that's. I mean, I feel like even before this movie came out, I feel like I had heard this song a little bit. But it definitely, heightened in my purview that I was aware, I was familiar with it. And whenever, someone might say any one of these words, I'd kind of get the song in my head again.
Right. So the song was.
Especially if they were to say the word for some weird reason and kind of the non-usual way of the
Yeah,
two.
that's true. That's true. So
Oh,
it was written by George Gershwin and Ira Gershwin for the 1937 film Shall We Dance, which was the movie that introduced Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, who were dancing on roller skates. The song is listed as number 34 on the AFI's 100 Years, 100 Songs. It has the famous line, "You say tomato, I say tomato." You say potato, I say potato. Making fun of the different pronunciations between British and American English. That's always really stood out. In earlier in the movie, we actually had a version that was sung by Ray Charles, but here this is the Ray Charles. Yeah.
Pretty sure. Isn't this Harry Connick Jr.?
Yeah, I think this is Harry
Or
Connick
not?
Jr. also. Right. That's what I was thinking. No, sorry, it wasn't Ray Charles. It was Louis Armstrong. Sorry. Right. Earlier on. Okay. So, months ago when we discussed this, it was the version that was sung by Louis Armstrong, and here we get a version from Harry Connick Jr., which is great. There are some very notable renditions of the song. You have Billie Holiday did it. You have Sam Cooke, Ella Fitzgerald, Bing Crosby sung it, and then you obviously have the Harry Connick Jr. one. And I've always found this really funny that you have Willie Nelson and Cyndi Lauper singing it. Not something that I would have expected. There's also the famous Muppet Show episode where Sylvester Stallone sings it. You have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I mean, I guess just the one last thing, because I was pretty sure it was Harry Connick Jr. that was singing this, and just looking pretty quick, at his Wikipedia page, it's like I was just, yeah. I mean, this movie really set him on fire.
Yeah.
Without it, he could have just easily gone on and not ever done much more, but he got, seems like he, because of it, he kind of got into acting too,
Yeah.
and had quite a few acting
Yeah.
roles as
Yeah,
well
he's had some
in
great
his
acting roles.
recording career.
Yeah, for sure. So the script here, we just have two lines that are left in the script basically. You have Harry and Sally talking about the chocolate sauce on the side, right? So Sally says, with a very rich chocolate sauce on the side, and then Harry says, yeah, because everybody doesn't like sauce right on top of their cake. And it has them, it basically says that the song that the sorry it says here that the conversation continues as it's fading out, which would have been a nice way to do it, because they do that quite often in the movie where we pick up people in the middle of conversations and things like that. So it might have been nice to have it sort of like trail off as the credits begin, stuff like that. But they still did it nicely here. I like that.
Yeah, because it is a really quick cut from right when he says right, it's the response
Sure.
that
Yeah, but
goes right into the
that's
credits.
the thing. It's a quick cut as opposed to it just being, something that flows. By the way, they could have done it there. All right, so every Wednesday we have a segment called Harry Burns Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Billy Crystal performances.
Yeah, and similarly, as a little preface, very amazingly, stunningly, not what I was expecting, but when I went and tallied up what I had seen of his, I come to the same number that I did for Meg Ryan, 13
Wow.
of his movies, and I would have thought it would have been more for him, for some weird reason. I'm not sure why, but my top five, number five would be This is Spinal Tap, and it's a pretty small part there, and he's actually. If I remember right, I think he kind of does say a little
He has
something,
one line. He has like,
but he, yeah, he's a mime. He's playing a mime. So, and then number four, Monsters, Inc. And I don't include, I haven't seen the sequel or sequels to that yet. Certainly look forward to that. I have seen him in his comedy room at Walt Disney World though. Lots of fun there. I even tried submitting a joke. I don't know if you can do that when you go
Oh,
there.
really? Wow.
You can on your phone, you can submit a joke. And I tried to submit one, and they did not say it, unfortunately. But and then I got number three, Running Scared. Really good action, bit of action, and some I think some more serious moments for him, even though it's definitely he definitely plays up his comedy there too. And then this movie I is what I say is number two, so you might be able to guess what my number one is for his performance. I mean,
Star Wars,
just
right?
based on his performances.
Yeah,
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dustin Hoffman was in Star Wars,
of
right?
course.
No, Princess Bride would be number one, as you mentioned, Miracle Max.
Yep. All right. Excellent. Thank you very much for that. So, Eric, you want to once again tell people where they can find Eric Nash?
Yeah, so the last of my three shows that I've done so far, hosted and produced and edited and all the good stuff, is Feels Like Weezer. So that's a kind of a cousin to the Movie by Minute format. It's going through all of Weezer's, the band Weezer's catalog, song by song, in chronologically released order. So we'd address singles and so forth when should they happen to come out before albums and what have you. But otherwise,
so it gives you more to draw from the well. You know, that works.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, come on, no one wants something that's just gonna be real quick and you want to have something in the future to do. So why not? And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcast you might be using to listen to this show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com, and you can find me on Facebook. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you, had to be you.